Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8, and we'll begin reading at verse 27 and read through verse 38. Mark 8, beginning at verse 27. And Jesus went out, and his disciples, into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spoke that, saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Here ends the reading of God's Word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the Gospel to you tonight. According you find in Mark 8, the Gospel according Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We speak tonight about false shame. The shame about which we must be ashamed. False shame. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words. That's an awful shame. That's a terrible shame. False shame. In the first place, we considered the meaning of it. What is it, really? To be ashamed of Christ and his words. And in the second place, we consider the consequences. There are terrible consequences. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And in the third place, we consider the deliverance. How can we be delivered of our false shame? My dear children, for you another time, false shame. The meaning, the consequences, and the deliverance. Dear congregation, what is false shame? False shame. There are so many things in our life about we must be ashamed. We are not. And there can be things about we must not be ashamed. And we are. What is false shame? To make it a little clear for you, my children, I use an example which I read. There were at a time very, very poor parents. And the Lord gave them only one child, a son, a very, very gifted young man. And they did all what they could to give him the opportunity to study, to develop his gifts. They spared the food out of their own mouth. They set aside everything for their only son. And he became a man with a high position and a wonderful income. He lived in a big house. And then came his birthday, and he invited a lot of guests. And his parents called on him, "We come tonight, you have your birthday, or Dad, maybe you can come another time, for I have now a party." You don't know that people. You don't feel comfortable with them. You can come better another time. Father understood very well what was the real reason. False shame. His parents were old, simple. Maybe they didn't feel comfortable, but they wanted to come. They offered their whole life for their only son. And when he reached the position by them, which he wanted, he was ashamed that his friends should say, "Are that your parents? Ah, what a simple people. Have you such a background?" False shame. The Lord Jesus is warning very strong against false shame. It's not so cheap to follow the Lord, to be a real Christian, not a name Christian, but a real Christian, to be united with Christ has a lot of consequences for our whole life. And that's what the Lord Jesus is making clear. Whosoever will come after me, are you willing? Whosoever will come. You are willing maybe to go to heaven? You are not willing to go to hell? Nobody here, I think. And I should ask you personally, are you willing to go to hell? To be lost in eternal fire forever and ever? No! Everybody says, "No! I don't want that." Are you willing to go to heaven? Yes, yes. Everybody here wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. But are you willing, by God's grace, to follow the way to heaven? For when you don't follow the way to heaven, then you can never come there. For whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. And take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, his own life, his sinful life, shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Then the Lord warns us very strong. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. An adulterous generation. What means that? Do you belong to that generation still? Are you spiritually an adulterer? What do you think? My children? My young people? Are you an adulterer? The Lord Jesus is warning against this adulterous generation. Adultery is that you are married and give your love and life and body to another person. That the person who ought to be your most beloved one, is it not? He who has right on you, on your love, on your life, on your body, on your soul, on your time, totally. You don't give him. What he's supposed to receive. What is right? Adultery. A prostitute. Who gives her life and love to everybody for money. Money, pleasure, and not the Lord. Who has the full right on your heart, on your love and life? Did you see it already? Lord, how? But the adulterous generation lives for a lot of things, but not for the Lord. That's heavy. Then you have to lose your life. Then you have to deny yourselves. That's too hard. It's not hard when the Lord has your heart. May you turn to him. Andrew Gray, the Scottish preacher, maybe you heard his name. He died and was ready for heaven when he was 23 years old. Not yet 22, I think. He preached only 3 years. And he is still preaching so many years after his death. His sermons are full of Christ. The sweet taste of Christ and the freedom of the gospel. And it was said about him, he is young in years, but old in grace. And one of his most beloved expressions in his sermons, which he often used, is this: Christ comes to you to ask you to marry with him. Are you willing to marry this Christ? Are you married already? Do you belong to Him, your heart, your love, your whole life? For when young people fall in love, and it's true love, and it's deep love, then they want to give themselves to one another. Then they want to become totally one, physically one, spiritually one, and these two shall be one flesh. And I say this, says the apostle, seeing on Christ and His church. And then Christ is not our husband. When He is not the most beloved of our heart, then our religious is empty, is vain, is only outwardly. It's selfish. We don't want to go to hell. We want to go to heaven, we think, but we cannot be there. For heaven is a place of perfect love. Heaven is a place where God's people reach their goal, to be totally for God in Christ, to be totally filled with the Lord. That's heaven. That's God Himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And an adulterous generation gives maybe a part of life, maybe a lot, but not their heart. My son, give me your heart. And otherwise we belong to that adulterous generation. And they have their own habits. They have their own customs. But we have other ones. When we belong to Christ, then we are called out of that adulterous generation. When the love of God has been poured out in our soul, and when we follow the Lamb, no, we are far from perfect. And that's our complaint, that's our sorrow. That's what we see in Peter. At one moment he confessed, "Thou art the Christ." And at the other moment the Lord had to rebuke him. "Go behind me, Satan. You think about the things of men and other things about the things of God." And we need as rebuke. But you know, my little children, when once the Lord Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he could honestly say, "You too? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Not adulterous. Not perfect. A sinner who needs forgiveness every day. A poor sinner who feels himself so vile often. And yet crying for the Lord, for nobody can fill him. But Christ. That's the church. That's the lily among the thorns. That's the light in the darkness. Thou art the light of the world. And you live in the midst of an adulterous generation. And you live also in a sinful generation. A generation who loves sin, have a delight in it. My children, my young people, you understand that, of course. Maybe you often did things too. You knew, and your conscience warned, it's not good. It's against the word of God. But it's so nice. And you don't like that so much. To ask all the time, what I see, what I do, is it to the glory of God? Brings it me closer to the Lord? How can I live in this way? God's people. By the grace of God. By the Holy Spirit. What's the command of the apostle? When you eat, when you drink, when you do something else, do it all to the glory of God. That's the deepest desire of all God's true people. To seek Him. To deny yourself. To follow Christ. His way. His mind. His love. His goal. The glory of the Father. The salvation of sinners. A heart full of compassion. Always teaching, always warning, always working. My Father works always, and I work also. And so the true Christian, following the Lamb, lives in the midst of an adulterous and sinful generation. And then it is strange to confess Christ. Strange in the sight and the feeling of the people. Is it strange, my young people, when you are at school and you try to win your roommate, classmate, to win your classmate for Christ? Is that strange? Is that strange that when you experience something of the love of God, fresh, just the morning that you went to school, that you was in prayer, that you read a word, the Lord spoke to your soul, and you were so happy in the Lord? Is that strange that you share it with the other pupils? Yeah, that sounds strange. We never heard that at school. We are at a Christian school. What is Christian? Christ-like. Yeah, but we hear the word, we begin with prayer. And we hear and tell the word. Therefore, we are Christian. Is that all? Is Christ in you? Is Christ in the teachers? Is Christ in the pupils? Then we have a Christian school. Is it normal? Is it normal to speak about Christ? Is it normal? It is. It's not normal in the midst of an adulterous and sinful generation. When you hear the word, when you pray together, then it's done. No Christianity more. Is that normal? It's not. All the pupils on the way to eternity, precious souls, who within short times shall stand before the great judgment throne with us. Are we ashamed to speak about our hope? It's not done. We are not accustomed to do that. Why not? Is it false shame? You come at your work. You're working with a lot of people. Yeah, pastor, but it's work. It's not a church. You cannot preach the whole day. No, not the whole day. But you can preach. You can be a witness. Sometimes it happened. I heard of a soldier. And he came back from his weekend. And one of the older soldiers said, "You are a happy man. Your face looks so happy. You must have had a happy weekend." And then the young soldier said, "I had. I was in the house of God. I was blessed mightily by the Lord. And I still feel His love." Is that not beautiful? Why do we not hear that? False shame? Are we not looking with the eyes of Christ? The eyes of Christ, by he saw always sinners without shepherd, sheep without shepherd, lost, going their way. No problem, no feeling, no idea of the danger in which they lived. And he began to teach them many things. False shame makes us silent. False shame says, you cannot do that. They belong to another church, they have another opinion, and then they become opposed against you. That's true. That's true. You can expect that. When you are full of false shame, you never give witness. You are not a witness. Nobody can see at you that you were in the church, that you are a member of the church. When there is no difference visible, then the devil says, it's okay with you. I like such kind of Christians. They do not harm anybody. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words. When you are living in your family, do you share the things which the Lord gives you, parents? Does your children know your heart? Do they see sometimes that you are happy in the Lord? Can they feel that Christ is really sweet? I told you before, I think, that I read a life story of a missionary, famous missionary, and that he told, my father was used by the Lord for my conversion when I was a little boy. For my father went every day 3 times, like Daniel, in a secret place, a little room, between the far side and the back side of the house. There he had his sanctuary. We knew that. And it often happened that when Father left his praying room, we saw that there was a glance of heaven on his face. And then we as children said, Father has been with God. Children could see it. There are so many Christian families and never is spoken about Christ. Children never hear about the sweetness of Christ. They hear a lot of things, all the news of the day. Maybe not wrong things, but they don't hear the right things. Why not? Yeah, shame. You don't speak about the things so easily. Why not? Yeah, we are not accustomed to it. Is that a good custom? I told you more often, when the heart is full, the mouth flows over. False shame makes us often so silent, makes us often so guilty. And it's a terrible thing. For whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me. We live in a time, a terrible time, an adulterous generation, a sinful generation, by which it's common that you respect one another. That's your faith, you are Roman Catholic, you are Muslim, and everybody must be respected in his own faith. False religion, who brings people straight away to hell. You must respect that. Let's talk of the devil. Let's not talk of the word. What did the Lord Jesus? Was he respectful against the Pharisees and the hypocrites? What did John the Baptist? Was he respectful? Said he to the Pharisees when they came to him for baptism, "Well, you are nice religious people. I respect your opinion. We have a difference, of course. We are not the same, but..." Is that the way? No. "You serpents! You hypocrites!" That's terrible talk. How can you say that? False religion is poison for a man. Proud religion is poison for a man. We need the truth. We need Christ. And what did the Lord Jesus with the people in the temple who were selling their stuff? Did he say, "Well, that's your opinion. You have no problem with it. I have a problem with it, but you not, so I respect that"? That's our adulterous generation, you know. And we are much more infected by it and influenced by it, much more than we know. But what did the Lord Jesus, my little children, you know it. He threw them away. He turned the tables. There went their money. There went their cows. There went their stuff. He never was ashamed. He never had any false shame. And it was all out of love. A holy zeal. And when his disciples saw it, later on they thought that the words, "The zeal of the Lord has consumed me." If anybody, whosoever, will come after me, let him deny ourselves. Is there a reason to be ashamed for Christ? There is not. There is all reason to glorify him, to praise him, to tell about him. He is much more beautiful than any man. Nobody has more love than he. He is the perfect loving man. "Thou art fairer than the children of men." Is there any reason to be ashamed for such a beautiful Savior? It's a shame to be ashamed. He's the only one who can save your soul, who can take away your sin, who can bring a man back to God, who bring us to our goal. "I give my sheep eternal life." And then you saw the beauty of Christ with your own eye, the eyes of your soul. Then you have all reason to proclaim him, to confess him, and no reason to be ashamed for him. For nobody is more beautiful and worthy to be praised than Christ. And that's the poorness of the church. There is no witness. And therefore, guilt is at the side of the church. We can complain about a decline in religion, dark times, but as long as we don't realize that we are the cause, it shall become worse. But when there comes such an awakening that people, Christians, see the beauty of Christ and have such a loving desire and asking the Lord daily in every circumstances for wisdom to say the right word at the right time, that therefore we need a wisdom. But Christ is given unto us also to wisdom. But The opposite of false shame is to be full of Him, to have a loving desire to share it with others, to be used and blessed by the Lord for the conversion of others. The eyes of Christ were saving eyes, always looking around. Where can I save? Where can I bless? Therefore, we must hate this false shame. To be ashamed, to be witness of Christ. And the Lord says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words. He makes a certain, it's a unity of course, Christ and his words, but he makes a certain distinction. For the words of Christ must be shared. People are on the way to a lost eternity, and they shall be lost as long as they have no knowledge. You know it? Others don't know it not. They come on your way, but you let them go. You say nothing, for you are ashamed. It's not done. You cannot do that. People become mad. They say you are mad. You can be sure that it happens. How shall be their reaction? For nobody does that. That's not normal in our society. That you in your daily life try to be a missionary. That you are not ashamed, but that you are full of Christ. Of course you work, you do your work. And by your work, you give a witness too. You are diligent. You are faithful. But in the meantime, you seek, where can I save? Where can I share the word of God? It's really foolish and shameful to be ashamed for the word. For there is no better message. There is not a more beautiful book. God's holy word. It's so precious. The longest psalm in the Bible. It's one praise on the word, one prayer to understand it, to believe it, to live in it, to live it out. That's not by chance that the longest chapter in the Bible is totally filled with the word. That's very special. The word of God is so true. It's so beautiful. There is no book which can be compared with it. The words of Christ are so powerful to salvation. I read in the life story of George Whitefield that he writes in his memories, I couldn't speak one word about Christ, and the Lord blessed it. The word is so precious. And we must not be ashamed for it. It's an honor to belong to Christ. It's a pleasure, it's a delight to know his word, to know the value, to feel the power of it. It's so foolish to be ashamed of it. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful generation. Yeah, when we continue in a shameful life, when we are not true witnesses, when we prefer the favor of man, and we try to avoid the enmity of man, and when we try to live in a way that people say, well, you are a Christian, I respect that, and I'm too, in a total different way, and you respect me, and so we agree, and live in a nice relation that stops when you say you live in a false relation, religion. You live in a false religion. Then it stops and turns. Because you are not of the world. The world shall hate you. For you don't speak as the world. You don't see as the world. You don't deal as the world. You are the opposite of the world. You don't belong to the world. But when you belong to the world and continue in a life of which the root is shame, false shame, for the Lord Jesus is warning his disciples. For when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, that specially mentioned, just his disciples need this warning so much. For it's so easy to say nothing, to have your religion for your own, not to speak about Christ, not to speak about the living hope, not to be a warning person. It's so easy for your flesh. It's such a temptation in the life of God's people. Say nothing. Keep in peace. And then our deceitful heart deceives us. Try to keep in peace with all men as much as is possible. And you cannot keep in peace when you are involved in the holy war. And then you have a loving heart for the salvation of people on the way to a lost eternity. And then you speak to them. And then you warn them. Honestly loving. But honestly, sometimes very sharp. As our Lord himself did. As the apostles did. They never were respectful against false religion. They warned very strong against it. Well, then the consequences of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The Lord takes us with him to the last day. That is our young people. After the service this morning, you remember my young people. He spoke the whole hour about that. The last day. The day of judgment. The day of the truth. And then the Lord Jesus calls himself here the Son of Man. God will judge the world by a man. A man who is very God. A man who knows everything. A man who can read the hearts, the thoughts, the deepest desires. A man who can judge totally, perfectly honest. When the books are opened, no excuse shall help. We make our conscience quiet here by a lot of excuses. We have a lot of excuses and escapes. And it sounds reasonable because we like it to deceive ourselves. Deceitful is the heart more than anything else. But in that great day, when the Son of Man is coming in the glory of his Father. That's a very special expression. The glory of his Father. The glory of the eternal God. The Son of Man here despised, rejected, crucified, ashamed. Do you belong to him too? Are you also a disciple? No, I'm not. I never knew him. "You're mad. I don't know the man." That's not a hypocrite. That's the church. That's Peter, from whom the Lord himself witnessed of his confession, not so much his person. "Thou art Peter, and on these Petra," that's female, "I will build my church." Not on the person, but on his profession, when he witnessed it. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." "I don't know him." And the Lord hung as a shame at a cross, mocked, despised by everybody. Everybody? No, not everybody. There was one man. He was a criminal. He was a murderer. And his eyes were opened for the beauty of Christ. And at the same moment, he began to warn. "Do you not fear God till now?" His fellow criminal was cursing, mocking. And the first thing what he said was a warning, very strong. Love. Not ashamed. And then he pointed on Christ. "This man never did any sin. O Lord, remember me. And thou hast come in thy kingdom." Wonderful. Wonderful example of God's mighty grace. The man could say, "Keep your mouth. What did you do yourself? Just half an hour before you mocked too? Can you warn your fellow sinner?" That's the tale of the devil. He wants to make you humble, so-called. Be humble. Don't say so much. Who are yourself? Be silent. We all recognize that voice. But that's not the voice of the Master. The voice of the Master is, "You shall be my witness. You are the light of the world. And you fight the good fight with the weapons of the Spirit. The sword of the word." Ow, sharp. Painful. Reaction. Hate. Cross. To deny yourself. To lose your life. The martyrs about you can read in the martyr books. They lost their life literally. Why? Because they were not ashamed. Because they boldly professed Christ. "My salvation rests only on the Savior. Only on the rock. Not on the work of any man. Not on my own words." That was the reason that they were killed. Terrible consequences. For the day of judgment is coming. "Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed." When he comes in the glory of his Father, and he comes soon. "Behold, I come quickly, and my wages are with me." Are you looking forward? Maybe you remember this morning that David said, "I lift my hands up. Come, Lord Jesus." Did it ever live in you? The day is coming, that Christ is coming in the glory of his Father. Here he was despised, rejected, the man of sorrows. When we saw him, we saw no beauty in him. And to be at his side was dangerous. A little flock, sheep in the midst of the wolves. You cannot expect another position. A lily among the thorns, ow. They prick. All these people who prick you, who want to hurt you. who hate you, because Christ is in you, and you are a witness. You're not ashamed. But when you are, and when that is the basic condition of your soul, when you are not in this world to profess your God, then there comes a time that he shall be ashamed for you. For you shall stand before that throne. Then the beggar appears to be the prince. You know the story, children, maybe you remember. That there was the beautiful princess was looking for a husband. Many candidates, mighty princes came to ask her hand. She denied. At last there came a beggar at the kitchen door. I want to marry the princess. Everybody laughed. What a joke. And she laughed too and said, I want to see that beggar. And she came to the kitchen, saw the beggar. And then the beggar said to her, this very day, within 1 year, I come back to marry you. She said, yes, I agree. And everybody was desperate. She was totally mad. Her father, oh, it was terrible and awful what she had to suffer. I married a beggar. Are you foolish? You a princess of the blood, the most beautiful and rich man of the country. So many people are coming, high placed people, to ask your hand. And do you want to marry that beggar? Yes, he said. And what you say, what you do, I marry the beggar. I love him. And then, exactly a year later on, there came a splendid prince, more beautiful and rich than all the others together. And he came to the palace of the king. I come for the hand of your daughter, she promised me last year. The beggar was a prince, and only the bride saw the beauty of the prince in the beggar. When Christ was in the world, he was a man of sorrow, and he's despised and still. But when you are the bride, you see the beauty of the prince. And soon everybody shall see him. The bride is not foolish. Her father was. All the other people were. For they didn't see the beauty of the prince in the beggar. But when you see the beauty of the prince, then you know my Savior is the King of Kings, is the Son of the Living God, is the only rest of my hope, is my life. And he's coming. He promised me, behold, I come quickly, and my wages are with me. But when we are ashamed, then he shall say unto us, go away from me, for you didn't belong to my flock. You didn't really love me. You didn't lose your life. You preferred the favor of man. But now go away from me, from all eternity. What shall your place be, my friend? When the prince is coming, the prince of princes, the king of kings, he's coming soon in the divine glory of his father. And all eyes shall see him. At what side shall ye stand? Oh, I hope and pray that it shall not be at the sight of them who were ashamed and stayed in their false shame. But maybe it's now your question, how can I be delivered? For when you belong to the people of God, you feel ashamed too now. I do. So often we are silent where we have to speak. And so often we speak where we have to be silent. And so many opportunities to speak a good word of Christ. Past, gone, doesn't come back at the day of judgment. Everything comes back. Everything that's not washed away by the blood of Christ. How can we be delivered of that false shame? I know my true people of God in our midst. That's the question of your heart. And that's the pain of your heart. That you struggle so much against it. That you have so much sorrow in your heart and guilt that you are not really a witness. And by God's grace, you are willing. But it's such a struggle. Why comes this warning tonight to us? To each of us. To you, to me. Why? That you, that I, that we should be ashamed of ourselves. We have all many reasons to be ashamed. The Lord is so worthy to be praised, to be confessed. His word is so precious. Nothing can be compared with it. And the souls with which we live are so precious. What is there a guilt? Also in the hearts of the Lord's people. Why are we not more a witness? Why is the light of Christ not more shining out of us? And let us come at the feet of our Savior, honestly, earnestly, and pray Him every day, at the beginning of every day. O Lord, make me a witness. I have no strength, no courage, nothing in myself. It are Thy own words. Without me, you can do nothing. But with Christ, everything. Why will we not pray? And let us do that. At the beginning of every day, O Lord, grant me at least one opportunity to share Thy word with somebody. To give a witness shortly, honestly, out of a loving heart, the witness of Thee. Why shall we not pray that? Must that not have a much higher place in our heart and life than it has? To be not ashamed, but to have a holy boldness and a loving desire to be His witness in words, in actions, in our whole life. And why must it not be, shall it not be more and more and more often and more deeper that we are more aware of it? That our life may be a witness. That there may be a unity between our words and our life. And that when we have the light on our back, there God's people has it. That other people can see it very clear and be one. For what blessed is our life when we are by a loving witness used by the Lord to save one soul. A question. Did you ever try to win a soul? Another question. Did you ever see that the Lord blessed you and the words spoken by you for the conversion of others? The sheep of Christ, they bring forth twins. Their life is fruitful. Only by a close walk to the Savior. For of course it are not our words. It's not our witness. We totally depend on Him, on His work. But it's His command that we shall not be ashamed of Him and of His words. And the opposite is to be bold, to be free, to be filled with it. And that's what people can feel when it's forced, when you do it because it's obliged. It doesn't work at all. But when you are the bird, the nightingale, he is beautiful singing. By the voice which the Creator gave him, all people are listening. Beautiful, beautiful. It's his nature. It must be our nature, our new nature, to sing the praise of the Lord, to be not ashamed, but to be full of Him. That's what we need. That's what we can obtain out of Christ's fullness. Confessing Him, O Lord, I'm so weak. I'm so afraid. I have no courage at all. O Lord, help me. O Lord, fill me. A beggar. Especially at the moment that you have the occasion. Then the tempter is saying, no, not now. Let him go. Say nothing. Then at the same moment, start to pray. Oh Lord, give me not to be ashamed of Thee. Give me grace to be a witness of Thee. That's the daily struggle. And that's the good fight. And we must confess we often are losers. At the end of the day, we have reason enough to confess it and not to be desperate, but to ask the Lord a new day and a new opportunity and ask Him continually, Lord, Thy Spirit, Thy love, Thy grace, Thy mind, give me that, fill me with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are, I fear, among us, and who confess it themselves. Also when the Lord's table is the coming week, and the Lord gives it us ready for His people. Who confess, I don't know the Lord. I cannot say Christ is living in me. Did you ever realize how endless terrible your condition is now? That you hear the gospel and know in your head the way of salvation and not love such a precious, such a wonderful Savior, that you don't love Him. Do you not feel how endless, terrible that is? That you are a curse. That you are not a blessing for your family. That you are not a blessing for your children. That you are not a blessing for the people in the midst of your life. That you are not a witness. Or do you not feel that? Feel it now. Pray the Lord to give you deep impressions. How bad your condition is. That you are ashamed. That you say, I say nothing, for I cannot say anything. What must I say? Says the devil. What must I say? You know that voice. That's easy, isn't it? I'm unconverted. I cannot say anything by myself. I don't know the way. How can other people show the way? But you cannot continue in it. It must change. Tonight. That's possible. Not by you, by the Lord. But your eyes are open. What a terrible thing. When I am ashamed and stay ashamed of the Savior and of His word. And I'm not a living witness for Him. And I'm not a blessing for the people in the midst of which I live. deep go in you. And I know I cannot bring it in you. But I know that the Lord is mighty by his word to do it. To do it now. That must be our prayer. That must be our loving desire. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a command. And you shall be saved. And when the faith, the true faith in your heart is coming and growing, it works by love. And you love the Lord. He's your most beloved one. You went over from that adulterous generation to the living church of God. You are weak and many shortcomings. And you bring them to the Lord all the time. And yes, it is true that it is your loving desire to save other people, to spread the light, to be used by the Lord for the extending of his kingdom. And the Lord gives you hope. And the Lord gives you boldness. And the Lord gives you all what you need. For all what you need is in Christ. And he is so willing and so able to give it you out of his fullness. And that's what may encourage us. When we confess him, and by grace are not ashamed, he shall not be ashamed to call us his. At the great day of the glory of his Father, and we stand before the throne, he says, come in. Come in, my throne, and judge with me the world. For in the throne is Christ the head. And his church, his body, is there and totally involved in it. The day is coming, the day of the Son of Man, in the glory of his Father, with the holy angels. Are we ready? Are we longing? And yet, what a joy. When the Lord gives you that liberty. I hope you know what I mean. When you receive the courage and really deny yourself.